Welcome to Conversations with Fifi and TK. Join us as we converse with various thinkers, artists, and experts on creativity, relationships, health, and the quest for a flourishing life. This is your point of intersection between leading-edge ideas, thought-provoking questions, and the creative challenges of everyday living.
I'm your host, TK Coleman, along with my co-host, the wonderful, the lovely, the brilliant, Fiona McNeil, a.k.a. Fiona Mac. What's up, Fee?
Hey, TK. Happy to be here.
Well, I'm very excited about who we have here today. Today we have Debbie Kemp. Debbie is the creator and admin for a very wonderful, lively Facebook page called Living Life. And Debbie's philosophy in a nutshell, as described on the page, is as follows. Life doesn't always turn out the way we hope or plan. We can crumble or we can adapt and carry on. There's usually an upside to most situations if we are willing to look for one. I choose to use life challenges to help me become the person I've always wanted to be so that I can live life to the full. If I can smile and laugh along the way, then I am truly blessed. When I read that, I said I have to meet this woman. So, Debbie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you. If you can tell us, in a nutshell, in addition to what I just read here, not only what is your basic philosophy of life, but how did you arrive at that? Is this something you've always felt, or was this part of your journey's unfoldment over time?
Well, I would say I had a great childhood. Very happy childhood, teen years, very happy. I felt well-adjusted as most people would be. But I was always sort of waiting for life to begin. I kept thinking, well, you know, I'll meet someone, I'll fall in love, I'll get married, then that will be it. I'll train, I'll become educated, I'll start a career, then life will begin. And I think I always felt like I was getting ready to begin living my life, and all the while, life was passing me by. Hmm. And I got to a point a couple of years ago where I finally decided, you know, now was the time to live my life and enjoy living my life on a day-to-day basis, not waiting for any one event to help me to arrive at a place where I could begin. So that's what's brought me to this place.
What exactly triggered that moment of, if I don't create it, it won't happen?
Life was going along fairly smoothly. I became a teacher. I got married. I had some children. Life was going okay. You know, there were some cracks, but, you know, at the time I didn't see those. And a couple of years ago, everything came to a point where my life had become unmanageable. And I think it had happened over, you know, gradually over quite a long period of time, years, that I hadn't realized until it got to a point where I had to say, stop, something's got to change, and I've got to be the one to change the direction in order for my life to get better, in order for me to make the most of my life.
Hmm. Now, once you had this epiphany, so to speak, did that naturally lead into you doing work focused around inspiring others, or was there a different next step that awareness produced in your life?
I was at the point where when I reached that point, I was in quite a low place myself. Mm-hmm. I was certainly in a stressful state. I don't suffer from depression, of which I'm very thankful. If I would be someone to suffer from depression, I would have been depressed. What actually happened was, at the point a couple of years ago when I decided to make some changes, I decided to leave my husband, who I'd been married to for 19 years, because his alcoholic behavior was threatening our entire family. It had just become completely unmanageable, and it had happened so gradually that I got used to it and didn't really see it for what it was. And then it did get to a point, I suppose, where I reached my rock bottom. I was waiting for him to reach his rock bottom, and he didn't. But I did, and I decided if I didn't do something to change, then something serious could happen to myself, to my children, and I wasn't prepared to deal with that. So I decided at that point that I would no longer stay in a relationship with him, and I left with the children, with my four children. And really, I wasn't thinking about inspiring anybody else. I was thinking about survival at that point. It was survival for myself and my children, for our safety, for our well-being. And those were my only two thoughts at that point, our safety and our well-being.
That choice alone to recognize that you were in a situation that was essentially depleting your life energy, and to leave that situation takes a tremendous amount of strength, a tremendous amount of courage. And there are many people in that kind of situation that don't make it out, even though they may feel that's what they need to do, because of fear, because of the belief they won't have any other options. Did you experience any fear like that, any doubt about whether or not you could make it without him? And if so, how did you overcome that?
Really, I'd got to a point where he really wasn't providing in any way, physically, emotionally, mentally, financially. He was really not providing in any way for our family. So I suppose in that sense, I didn't feel that he was helping in any way. So at that point, it was easier for me to leave, mm-hmm. because there really wasn't much left to leave from, if you get my point. But yes, I wasn't managing with him, but I wasn't sure how I would manage without. And I was obviously very worried about the picture of the view outsiders would have, family and friends, because obviously the truth would come out. So I was scared about that. But my wanting to change our situation for myself and my children, it just far outweighed any worries or concerns. I would have at a point where I wanted things better more than I was worried about covering up or keeping things the same. So I just had to do it. It was just something in me. I don't know where that strength came from. I just had to do it. And so I seized the moment there and then, and, you know, had just left.
Your story reminds me of a quote. I don't remember who the author was that said this, but it says something to the effect that what often appears to be courage is simply a recognition of the only possible path one could take. You know, so from an outside observer's perspective, you know, what a person does may look as if, oh, that's a really bold decision that they chose path A over path B. But for the person who's making that choice, there is no path D. There is no alternative. This is what I have to do. And it sounds like that is the case with your story. Now, where do we go from there? So you muster the strength to do what's best for you and your children. And now what do you do to get the help that you need to not only survive but to rebuild your life for you and your family?
Yeah, well, I read as many positive inspirational books as I could. I read books on setting boundaries. I read books on taking back control of one's life. I found inspiration through various posts that I found on Facebook. They would just, I would just see quote after quote, and I'm like, that's me, or that's what I want to be like, or that's where I want my life to go. And I was just, it was just a gradual, if you like, I was filling myself up again with positive and inspirational, and just a sense of well-being and a sense of where I wanted to go in life, which had been gradually depleted over the years. And I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know what I wanted my life to be like. I didn't even know what I liked. I was so used to just having somebody else's needs put before my own that, you know, I didn't know where I was. I didn't know my own thoughts. So it was a case of reading things, listening, you know, to wise friends and family members. And I belong to a church, and I got help there as well. I have a personal faith in God, which became very real to me at that point. And just all these things combined helped me to rebuild myself, so that I'm kind of on the right track. I haven't arrived. I don't know if I'll ever arrive, but I feel like I'm on the right track now because I'm putting the positive in. And I felt until I could do that, I really couldn't move forward with my life. So that's where I was at that point.
Wow. And judging from the quality of work that you put out on a daily basis, and you have nearly 40,000 fans on your Facebook page, and
yeah, crazy.
with over 30,000 people talking about this, and for those who aren't, you know, familiar with how fan pages work, you know, having a lot of likes is different from having a high number of people who talk about this. And if you have a high number of people who talk about this, that means people not only liked at some point in the past the page, but they are actually engaged with the material on a pretty regular basis. So clearly what you're doing resonates with a lot of people. So it seems like you've not only filled up your well, but now you're overflowing to a point where you're putting out the kind of stuff that's helping people take a similar kind of journey in their own lives.
Well, that's a beautiful way of putting it. Yeah, I like that description.
Now, you mentioned that there were some books that you read and you know, to help you with, you know, sort through some of the things you needed to overcome and skills you needed to develop and so forth. As a book lover, my interest has piqued. Would you mind dropping maybe an author or two or a title or two that was helpful in your journey for those of us who might want to, you know, follow your rabbit trail a little bit?
Sure. Codependent No More by Melody Beattie, which was very much a case of, you know, I am a codependent, having lived with an alcoholic for many years, and that was just phenomenal. It helped me to understand myself and what I'd been through. And, you know, it just really spoke to me and helped me to understand. And I just found I was each step of the way through the book, I was doing those same things in my life as I was moving away from my alcoholic and rebuilding my life and looking and trying to understand. So that was an amazing book, and I would definitely recommend that for anybody. You know, it doesn't have to be alcoholism. It can be any kind of issue that you're dealing with in a family or any type of relationship where, you know, you are putting somebody else's needs before your own, and, you know, they are having an impact, a negative impact on your life. The other book was Boundaries by Dr. Cloud, and there's a second author, but that's gone out my head. And that was very much a case of me looking perhaps to see where I went wrong. You know, I hadn't set the boundaries that I needed to with my alcoholic. And if I did try and put some boundaries up, they were just plowed down. So that helped me to understand sort of where I had gone wrong, and also for the future to put boundaries in place, you know, to protect myself, because boundaries are not there for other people. Boundaries are there to keep myself safe and to keep me well. Other people may not like them, but that, you know, that doesn't matter. So those are the two that really were the most meaningful to me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing those. You know, for someone who may be in a situation similar to what you were once in, and they feel as if their partner is not contributing to the relationship, or maybe they're putting their own individual needs over that of the family's, but maybe they're not sure if this is a situation they should try to fix, or if this is a situation they should try to leave. How would one go about getting those answers?
I would say definitely try and fix before ending any kind of relationship. You know, evaluate, take stock. Now, you know, I obviously left my alcoholic, and but I didn't leave with the view that this would be forever, having left him. I thought perhaps we could work things through. So, you know, it came to a point where obviously we didn't work things through, and I ended up divorcing him. But, you know, any relationship is worth looking at for the positives. And if there is anything positive in there, then, you know, it could be worth saving. And get some help. Read. Go to some help groups where you can talk with like-minded people who maybe are going through the same issues, and talk things over. And you may find, if your partner is willing to work as well, then, you know, it is possible that there can be resolution and a relationship can go on to improve and become better. But obviously it takes two. It takes two.
You know, many of us were brought up in an age of giving people the benefit of the doubt. And when it comes to setting boundaries with people, you know, a lot of us struggle with how to implement proper boundaries, and especially when, you know, we let our desires be known. You know, we ask people nicely to respect our boundaries, and where they really run into trouble is when the other person fights back. They don't respect the boundary, and then they feel like they're in a struggle. You know, now they have to really dig their heels in. Can you address that, on how the average person can implement good, healthy boundaries around protecting themselves without feeling like they're offending or confrontational with others?
Sure. The thing is, you need to have thought through beforehand what boundaries that you need in your life. Because boundaries that you set up in the spur of a moment or an argument aren't going to work because they haven't been thought through. You know, you need to identify in your life who is it you're having issues with and what boundaries are needed for that person. If it's somebody in the workplace, you know, then that's going to require different boundaries than somebody that's your partner that you live with. If it's somebody that you live with, if you need to identify what is the behavior that's acceptable, obviously any sort of violent behavior is not acceptable and something should be done immediately. But if, you know, with my alcoholic, if he would come back, obviously be in a drunken state, be verbally abusive, then looking back, if I had had better boundaries in place, I could have said to him when he was sober, obviously, to take it in, if you come home and behave like this when the children and I are at home, then the children and I will be going to spend the night like wherever, and I need to have somewhere set up that I can go, a trusted friend, a family member, where I could go for the night. And then hopefully they would get the message. That's obviously extremes, and we're talking about alcoholism there. But obviously that's where my history is, so that's where I feel I can speak from. But have the boundaries in place, know what you're going to do, and you've got to carry it through. And then hopefully the message will get through. I was compliant for too many years. I think, you know, we forgive people. We were taught to forgive and to kind of make things okay, smooth things over. That's my personality type. I don't like people to be upset. I don't like to cause a fuss and upset anybody. So I would rather smooth things over. But there comes a point where behavior is unacceptable and it's damaging to one's own sanity, if you like. Makes you question your own judgment. And then, you know, boundaries need to be set in place. I didn't have boundaries set in place. And obviously it got to a point where I couldn't take it anymore. But hopefully people who are maybe hearing this story can think, yeah, there are some issues in my life where I do need to set up some boundaries. Let me perhaps read something about it, or let me talk to some trusted people and get some help and see what boundaries can I set for myself. And what can I have in place? Does that help, Fiona?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And being a big reader myself, you touched on a spot that I'm especially passionate about is getting help through reading. There's so much information out there that's good information. It's free. It's available, and so many resources, like you mentioned, Debbie, that you can look to. And so, you know, to me, the message that I get from you is that you are really a role model for not only saying no to unacceptable behavior, but moving forward through that in a healthy way of healing that has led you to inspiring others on Facebook. That's very exciting. Thank you for being a steward for being a healthy role model, and especially as a mother protecting her children.
Thanks for those kind words, Fiona. I appreciate it.
Debbie, if you don't mind, I'd like for you to expand on that previous point a bit further, because
in order to do what you've done, you definitely have to be assertive. And this is a very difficult skill for many of us to develop. Sometimes we feel guilty about doing what's best for ourselves. Sometimes we feel afraid to tell other people the truth. Hey, I don't like this, or this is unacceptable to me. That comes very difficult for a lot of people. What pointers could you offer to those who are in situations, whether it's in a rocky marriage or in their professional life, they're in a situation where they need to speak up in order to get their needs met, but they feel afraid they're going to get shot down or mocked, ridiculed, out-argued, or something along those lines? What pointers could you offer?
I think the first thing people need to do is to develop a sense of self-worth. You have to believe that you deserve better in order to be able to say, no, I don't like that, stop it, or no, I'm not going to work all those overtime hours because I'm not paid for them, or, you know, no, I don't like it when you speak to me like that. Don't do it again. I think you have to value yourself and feel that you're worth being treated well and treated with respect. And, you know, that takes time to develop. Spend time with people that are going to develop your self-worth. Spend time reading material that is going to reinforce that. You know, the internet now, we have no excuses for not putting positive in, because we have the internet. There's so much we can read. Just, you know, we're all busy and we don't have time, but we can just see these wonderful posts on all these inspirational pages on Facebook. They will just, you know, fill yourself up with those, and that will increase your self-belief and your self-worth. I think that's where it's got to start, in my opinion, anyway.
I think that's a very helpful insight. And, you know, a lot of what you're saying comes back to this idea of taking the time to invest in yourself, taking the time to accumulate those inner resources that are going to, you know, empower you to think in new ways and make different kinds of choices.
That's right. You know, there's also a time where perhaps, you know, some people may need more professional help if there are any sort of, you know, mental issues or, you know, anything like that. You know, not everything can be solved by reading a positive book and reading an inspirational post. I do appreciate that. You know, so people need to be very careful about looking for the help they need and adjust it according to what their needs are. Self-help groups and support groups are incredible. I actually go to a support group for people who have been in my type of situation, having lived with an alcoholic, and that also has had just a phenomenal effect on my life in just meeting with other people who understand things that I've been through, because they've been through them too, and just sharing stories, you know, and laughing about things that people that don't understand wouldn't laugh about because they're so tragic. But, you know, because we've been through it, you know, we can share. And you know, that is really empowering, to spend time with people who have been through similar situations, you know, and share common ground. I found that really helpful.
Something else that shows up on your website a bit is the role of laughter, the centrality of that role. You say your goal is to laugh more often than you cry. Can you talk a little bit about
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, there's the phrase that goes something like, there is always, always something to be thankful for. I like to think there's always, always something to laugh about as well. And, you know, there were a lot of tears when I first separated from my husband and actually went through the trauma. And, you know, there were some really difficult months with very few laughs, not a lot to smile about, a lot of financial worries, a lot of upheaval for my children. And it was really survival mode. And then gradually, you know, I started to just see glimmers in everyday life of everyday situations that just tickled me. And I just started to see the funny side of things. And this was actually about separated in the March, and in the October, I started my blog. So I started writing my blog first. And I just tried. I'd never written and put anything out there before, but I just wrote little stories of my everyday life, but in it, you know, in things that kind of happened that I just tried to see the funny side of. And I just committed to the blog and tried to weekly put up a post because I wanted to discipline myself. And that's just sort of grown and grown as well. And I just seem to see the funny side in things now. And, you know, I've been in very difficult situations, but I've been able to laugh because, you know, there generally is, unless someone's going through obviously something very tragic and, you know, death, things like that. But generally in life and life with children, there's plenty to laugh about. So, you know, that is my goal, to live my life to the full and to laugh every day.
I love your philosophy. You know, there are some problems that we just don't have the ability to wrap our minds around. And laughter is one of those ways of saying to the universe, you know, even in the absence of answers, you know, there's something within my spirit that's capable of connecting to the energy of joy, you know. So there's something very affirmative about that, and I love your philosophy. Do you have anything that you've written that someone going through these problems can read, can find? Any resources you want to tell our audience about?
If people go to my blog, it's called debbiekemplivinglife.blogspot.co.uk. That is full of basically what's happened. I have not been overly graphic in anything related to my ex-husband, because I've tried to be sensitive with regard to my children. But it talks about, I've had, you know, posts with what it's like to be separate from someone that you love, you know, how to overcome that, how to get through daily life. You know, I've written posts on letting go. There's a post all about learning to let go and what that means to me and how I was able to do it with the gift of detachment, which I believe is a gift to be able to detach from someone that you've loved for a very long time. I've got other posts on there. A very recent one is called Courage to Change. And this basically, that tells my story in a nutshell. You know, myself having the courage to change the situation I was in with my alcoholic and leave. And that has been one of my most popular posts to date, the Courage to Change post.
You know, in many ways, Debbie, I see the courage to change as you've exercised it within the context of divorce as also being a metaphor for the courage to change that has to be demonstrated when we have any area of life that we need to separate from in an effort to redefine who we're going to be in this world. So all the people that are out there, whether it's people who are in careers they hate, in relationships that are not healthy for them, or they have their own inner struggles or addictions that are defeating their purpose in life, can you offer me any parting words of encouragement for the people out there who need to divorce from whatever it is that's holding them back from being the best version of themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I would just like to say to people to believe that you deserve better. You know, each person is very special, very unique, has very special gifts to offer to themselves, to their families, to friends, to the wider community. It's looking for what you love and what you want to do, and how can you incorporate that into your day-to-day life? You know, we can't all just give up our jobs and walk out and not provide for our families. You know, the daily grind, we have to pay the bills. But it's finding a way in free time, which is hard to find. I know, believe me, free time is, I don't know what that is anymore. But finding what you love and what you're passionate about, and whatever time you can find, invest in that passion. You know, learn more about what you want to do, what you want to become, and set yourself some goals. Nothing is achieved, nothing worthwhile is achieved without effort. You know, if we want to lose weight, we've got to put in the effort and set some goals for ourselves. If we want to get fit and healthy, you know, we've got to put in the time to make that happen. You know, success in any field doesn't happen overnight. There'll be failures, there will be setbacks, there'll be delays. And it's just, you know, I don't know what my final goals are, where everything's going to lead. You know, I want to think about writing books and going down that route, perhaps. But, you know, I can't just sit down and write a book, you know, but I could start a blog, which I did, which then developed I went on and sort of started the Facebook page. So it's starting small, but find what it is that you love to do, what your passion is in life, and, you know, and go with it. And don't be discouraged, because, you know, there'll be difficult times, but go for what your heart's desire is.
I appreciate you taking the time to share your story with us and to offer such authentic and profound insights about the nature of, you know, recreating yourself.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's really been my pleasure. I've enjoyed speaking to you and Fiona. It's, you know, life is unexpected. We don't know what's around the corner, and we've just got to make the most of it.
Oh, thank you so much, Debbie. Your message of laughter is the best medicine and how it's worked for you, wow, that's so powerful. Thank you very much for sharing your life and your tips and your wisdom with us today. It's been really a great time getting to know you better.
Thanks, Fiona.
Debbie, okay. Peace be the journey, and we'll definitely be in touch with you, and we'll be keeping a close eye on all the wonderful things that you're doing to contribute to the positive things that are happening in the world.
Thanks, TK.
Be sure to follow Debbie's blog at debbiekemplivinglife.blogspot.com. That's Debbie, K-E-M-P, livinglife.blogspot.com. Also follow her on Facebook at facebook.com/livinglife2thefull. That's the number 2, not the word. And we hope you join us for the next conversation with Fifi and TK.